Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson welcome you and invite you to go on a journey of changing the church, challenging the colleges, and charging into the community. The following message is from the series, The God of the Bible.
Exodus chapter number 3, verse 9 through 15. Amen. I'll read it in your hearing. You're welcome to join me if you like. It says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression by which the Egyptian oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you." This is God now. And he said is God. "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Some people are wondering where Moses is. "When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." I won't go into that. We'll talk about that another night. All right. "And then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers have sent me to you, and they shall say to me, what is your name? What is his name? And what shall I say to them?'" Let me see to read that again. "And then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel to say to them, the God of your fathers have sent me to you, and they say to me, what is your name? What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am have sent me to you. Moreover, the God said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, also the God of Joseph as well, have sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." Read it again. "And then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to me, what is your name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am who I am. That's my name. I am who I am. I will be who it is I intend to be. I am who I am. I'm that. I'm this. I'm this and that. Be that too.'" It says, "I am who I am." And he says, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am have sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." For a few moments today, and I really only have a few moments, I want to talk about the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible. Do me a favor, say, "Neighbor, oh neighbor, today we're going to learn about the God of the Bible." Father, we thank you for the word that you've spoken on my heart to minister. Let me speak as your oracle. Let me declare your truth. God, when you're finished, let me stop. God, when you've said what you wanted to say, when you've pierced the very heart, when you've lifted the burden, when you, oh God, now instilled that which would create life, we thank you, we'll praise you, and we'll give your name all the glory and praise. Let your word go forth on good ground, and let it bring forth a harvest in this season, and we'll glorify your name forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, minstrels. Amen. Thank you. Edward, just stay with me, and you can give me a little bit of moving forward, and I'll move right into my doxology. The God of the Bible. In the textbook Systematic Theology, the author says in his section on the doctrine of God, he says there's a serious question that must be asked. And the question is, how do we know that God exists? There's a serious question that must be asked, and everybody asks it. They're asking it on television, they're asking it in the world. How do we know that God exists? Well, the answer can be given according to Gruden in Systematic Theology. He says there is an innocence of God. And second, there is believable evidence found in scriptures and in nature as we observe it. Deep down, inwardly, we know God exists. Now, I'll tell you a little later on, if I get to it, why some say they don't believe in God, when I'm telling you inwardly, all of us know that God exists. I'll tell you later on why they might say they don't believe. All right. But Gruden says in systematic theology, inwardly we know, or in the inner parts of our being, we sense that God exists. And then also in the scriptures and also in nature, we see that God exists. In Romans chapter number 1, verse number 19 and 20, it says that because what may be known of God is manifest to them. And this is talking about all of creation. Because what may be known of God is manifest to them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world has the invisible attributes are clearly seen. Come on, do me a favor. Ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you seeing God every day? Are you seeing God every day? Paul, talking to the church of Rome, he said they are seen. God's attributes are seen every day clearly, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power of the Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Some may not believe, may say he don't exist, which is normally caused by unbelief. And the choosing, according to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, to allow the God of this world to blind our eyes that we can't see what's in plain sight. God is in plain sight. Look at the clouds. Unbelief, sin, the God of this world will make you miss him every time. He's right up there at work with you, and you asking the question, why ain't God with me at work? Some of us wouldn't have a job if God was not with us. And somebody should have said amen right there. In Psalms 19 and 1 and 2, we see the perfect revelation of God. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. It says the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters his speech. Night unto night reveals his knowledge. Night and day, day and night, we ought to be seeing the mysteries of God revealed. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, what did you see yesterday? Come on, ask another neighbor, what did you see last night? Be careful. The God of this world, unbelief, will make you miss him every time. God, when you gonna show yourself strong in my family? And for the last 10 years, he's been showing himself strong in your family. That's a good place to say amen. Wish I had a little bit more time, because one of the most powerful things about the Bible, and this is where a lot of Christians get it mixed up, we're trying to do something that the Bible does not do. The Bible does not try to prove that God exists. Go read the first verse of the first book. It doesn't try to prove God. Because that's where most of us would have started deaconizing. Most of us would have started trying to prove the validation of the scriptures. And this is where most theological books start out. Then they try to, after they prove that the Bible is real, then they try to prove God. God, the Bible really doesn't do that. The Bible does it just like this. In the beginning, God. And you're trying to prove it. And we might need to do a little better and stop trying to prove it. And just demonstrate it. Come on, do me a favor. Tap your neighbor and say, hey, pastor just said something. Because we do a better God proving God exists with our actions than we do with our mouth. Wow. In a few days, the leaves will start to change colors. And if you back up and stand off, you'll see a thing called foliage. And the beautiful leaf is trying to show you, I'm almost there, Edward. Get closer to doxology in me. The leaves changing colors and a beautiful painting on the mountainside is saying real loudly, God exists. Take a microscope and look at that thing that I hate to shovel called snowflakes. My understanding is, not although they all look the same falling, sometimes it's heavy snow and sometimes it's light snow. I like the light snow if it's going to be snow. But I'm told that if you look at snowflakes under the microscope, not one of them are the same. I'm almost there. The snowflakes are trying to tell us, man couldn't do this. They'd at least made two of them the same. Every time you drink water, you know what God's trying to say to us? I exist. This is what's amazing to me. Your body is made up of what He has covered the earth with, and every time you put it inside your body, it refreshes you and calls you to live. He's trying to tell us, I exist. I don't have time to talk about, look at the human hand and look at our creative abilities. If you just look at what humankind has created, there had to be a God inspiring us. The leaves, the snowflakes, the thunderstorms, honeybee, refreshing water, incredible abilities of humankind. It's trying to show us the activity of an all-powerful and all-wise God. Cosmological argument, theological argument, I wish I had time. Ontological argument, I don't have time. The moral argument, the sense that we know that there is right and wrong and we want to see justice, the only way that can be is because there is a God that exists that has put morality in us. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. Down to my last 5 minutes. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, power, because you created all things and by your hand they exist. Ephesians 1:11, one of my favorite scriptures, in whom we obtain inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things according to the counsel of his own will. Not only does the God of the Bible exists, but he created everything for that it might be a pleasure to himself, and he's created everything to work after his own counsel. This is the God of the Bible. So as we go to the text, there's a couple things that I want us to understand today about the God of the Bible, this concept of the God of the Bible. So as one writer said, we can now live a total different life. Reading the different textbooks that I was reading this preceding week, either we look at, and this is what we got to adjust today, we either look at God as this mean police officer that is going to correct us when we err and when we do wrong or make a mistake or when we slip and fall, that he going to get us. And those of us that have graduated a little bit of salvation, we want God to get everybody else, but we didn't want him. We wanted him to show us grace and mercy. All right, so we either look at God as this grand police officer, or we look at God as some grandfatherly figure that really wants us to just have a good time regardless of what we choose to do. And both of those views are wrong. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But don't leave him at that. He is the Lion of Judah that has prevailed. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, does your view of God need to be adjusted a little bit? Don't make him some grandfatherly figure, because y'all know grandfatherly figures, oh, let the girl have it. Oh, Mary, let them go. Come on, man. Man, some of these kids, a lot of these kids around here, especially the younger ones, they look at me as like a grandfather figure, Papa. And it tickles me. Judah is around me, and I can see Andre and Kim Sturkey getting upset. I'm like, leave that boy alone. Now, this boy, he might have done something he shouldn't have done, like jumped off this sideways, about to hit his head. I'll be over there talking about, leave the boy alone. And the father be looking over there like, boy, if you don't sit down. And see, some of us got God, we have God in that view. We think he's a grandfatherly figure that's going to let us just do anything. And that ain't God. Them that he loves. But he's not a police cop either. He's not waiting to hit you over here with a stick because he caught you doing wrong. In fact, he says it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. With love and kindness have I drawn thee. So he's a lamb, he's a lion, and we've got to get our sights adjusted correctly. Least we err in our judgment of God. Because he's not the God of our opinion or our preference or our wishes. He's definitely not Santa Claus. Santa Claus ain't. Okay, our children's feeling. Come on, do me a favor. Talk to your neighbor real loud and real clear. Tell him, say, neighbor, he's the God of the Bible. He's the God of the Bible. I wish my prophetic psalmist friend was here, Will McDowell. He would say, Lord, make us aware of your presence. We've got to become aware of who it is that he is. And there are three things in the text, and I promise you guys, I'm down to my last 3 minutes, and I am done. Number one, if he is the God of the Bible, then number one, the proper view of God causes, we ready, PowerPoint? Look at Zamira back there working PowerPoint. Wow. Thank you for our children, God. The proper view of God causes a divine meaning of humanity going up and God coming down to earth's surface. When we view God correctly, we see ourselves and we see others moving up. Be careful when your view of yourself and others is always negative and they're going in the opposite direction of where they ought to be going. You have to think about that, aren't you? When you get the right view of God, you say what God said to Moses. This earth is being filled with the glory of God. When you don't have the proper view of God, man, evil's taking over the world. Did you forget that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell in? You think God created all of this in 6 days and he just gonna let evil take over this world? Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you done bumped your head. You done bumped your head. All right, the proper view of God, and I got to move now, y'all. The proper view of God causes a divine meeting of humanity going up and God coming down to earth's surface. I wish I had time. Matthew says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe we haven't seen this because of our view of God. Put in your notes, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. A proper view of God, I'm talking about the God of the Bible, causes a divine meaning of the going up of humanity and the coming down of God's earth surface. This is what happened when God was ready to do something great. He says, Moses, come here. I'm going to give you a view of the God of the Bible. What did Moses do? Moses went up. God came down. A meeting on earth's surface is number two. The improper view of God always causes an inadequate, less than view of self and others. I'm gonna just leave that right there. That's heavy. That's very heavy. Oh Lord of Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens, and out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? and the Son of Man that you visited him. You have made him just a little lower than the angels. How easily we forget that ourselves and others just a little bit lower than the angels. I think we'd talk to each other different if we would consider that thought. I think we would treat each other different if we would consider that thought. I believe we would serve one another. I'm serving, when I serve you, when you serve me, we're serving someone that's just a little bit lower than the angels. So can you imagine our rewards? Too easily we've given up on that which is a little bit lower than the angels. Are y'all listening? An inadequate view of, the improper view of God always causes an inadequate, less than view of self and others. Please hear me. You will never get over yourself with this pop psychology. You will never get over yourself with a whole bunch of medication. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. I'm going to preach anyway. You will never get over yourself with just a little thinner, just a little bit more weight, right clothes, right jewelry. That stuff is not what makes you have a proper view of yourself. What causes you to get a proper view of yourself is when you get a proper view of who God is.
If you were blessed by this message, or you know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for information on how to receive the full length message. We hope you are encouraged, and remember, this is Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows.